Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All right, back from Texas.
Back, baby.
Look at him.
Back.
Chomping.
Back.
We heard a good chunk of your debacle with United Airlines yesterday, but you are back. And I, you know, was looking forward to
yesterday,
and hearing all about the trip, because you were doing some pretty interesting stuff.
Heavy duty stuff
for Podcast Village, which is part of our thing here in Washington,
100%, Mike. And heavy, I think, is the best word to use to describe the weekend outside of the travel snafus.
Right.
I was able to get home. Just quick anecdote. I took an earlier flight home just by being proactive, and I'll tell you how proactive I was. We got to the airport early, and in front of me it said, roughly at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Our flight was supposed to go out at 11:20, but we were at the gate at 9:30. And for Oscar, that's early. And I said, we just got to get there. And I see at the gate, and this is a real one in the plus column, I see a sign that says Washington Reagan, D.C. And that's all it says under United gate, I think 93, 83, wherever we were. And it said 10:05. And I said, well,
an hour and a half earlier.
It's 9:30, 10:05. I drop my bags, don't even talk to the guys, walk up to the gate and say, sir, can I get on this plane? And he said,
it's another plane, Rob. It's not that they just decided to make it earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying this flight is a full 90 minutes earlier than what he was booked on.
It sounded like sounding like they moved the flight up or something, which I don't think they've done in the history.
No,
of
you're correct. Thank you for clarifying.
So you switched planes.
The guy looked at me like I was crazy, first of all, to ask to get on this ride. And I said, he goes, are you going to DCA? And I said, in about an hour and a half.
What do you think?
But this one leaves right now. Can I go?
How much do they charge you for that? That's expensive.
There's no charge. There's no charge whatsoever. I don't know why the guy who booked us on the 11:20 didn't put us on the 10:05. That would have been 10 times better.
Yeah.
Why? So they didn't charge you for changing flights?
I bumped up. So instead of bumping back, I bumped up, which I imagine he looked at the itinerary and was like, well, we do have one seat open. You can go.
So they had an open seat. They wanted to fill their seat.
And they said, and then I imagine for the 11:20, they'll have another open seat, so they're going to get their backlog.
Did you leave your cohorts back in Texas?
This is what it must feel like when you hate your kids and you have to leave them. You have to leave them, because I looked back and I said, you don't have room for those guys? Knowing that he already said he had one seat.
Sure.
But my conscience was on me.
Yeah.
And he said, no, sir. I said, all right, put me on this thing. Let's go. He goes, are you ready now? We have to board now. I'm about to close the door. I said, I'm ready now.
Let's
Here
go.
My bags.
Go time.
And I looked back and I waved, see you guys in D.C.
Did Rofo yell after you? But I still have food vouchers.
It's like you were there. And it wasn't Rofo.
We haven't had our breakfast yet.
I have a burrito coupon.
It was my other guy. He said, can you text us the food vouchers as I'm going down the tunnel? Can you text us the food vouchers?
Oh, yeah. So who's behind? How many people did you travel with?
Two.
Only two.
Well, I thought it was Rob
Ford and Josue is his name.
But I thought your wife was with you.
No, what? This is work, Mike.
Did he say Shannon yesterday?
No. Shannon did not come with us. No.
Where the hell did I hear that?
It was just the three of them.
Just three men.
Because if they had another person, they would need more vouchers.
Yes.
So Josue and Rob Ford were left behind, and you got on the
it was
flight
like,
nonstop.
Yes, it was like a Disney movie. But the tears were coming out of their eyes
right
as I was leaving on the train to America. Like, I was Fievel. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where you're I'm really happy. I will text you what I can if this plane is not in the air by the time I get into my seat.
By the way, if all things were equal and I was at the airport, I'd do the exact same thing.
Of course.
With the knowledge that, you know, if they're an hour and a half later, God knows what's going to happen. Yeah,
this
with
plane
United
looked like it was
yesterday.
Nice and clean. It was an Embraer, Mike. I looked at the plane.
Oh, you finally looked at the plane.
I had to tell Mike.
Was it a 190?
It was a 190, and everybody on there.
Two and two, yes.
They all had suits on. I said, this plane isn't going down. It's too important.
This is an important plane.
DC bound. You know, by the way, that Houston to DC flight is, you know, big oil, baby.
Lots of cowboy boots and tailored suits.
Lots of oil lobbyists right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Genie.
They still put the guys from Halliburton on the 9:30.
It looked like the male cast of Dallas.
There you go.
It really did.
All right. So now you've made it.
Yes.
You made it back, and I assume Rofo and Josue made it back.
They made
too.
It back. They're good. They're good.
They're here. But down there, what can you talk about and what can you not talk about? I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position, but I am dying of curiosity,
strokes,
and I haven't talked to you in private.
In College Station, Texas, roughly 90 miles from Houston, we are fortunate enough as Podcast Village and as a team as a whole to have been awarded the bid to produce the presidential, the George Herbert Walker Bush Presidential Library podcast. And this trip was really built around a celebration that the family was having in College Station for the late president's 95th birthday. And
you would have been 95.
Yes, okay. 95. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time within this I guess, for context, every 5 years, President Bush would skydive ever since he was 80, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 75. And it was really telling to see how many family members showed up. And the project that we're involved in is more about capturing the memories from the family.
Okay.
That's going to be built around what is going to be a brand extension for the library. Now, after getting all that out of the way, and the release date is TBD, you have such a heavy heart when you're producing these shows, and because, Mike, the raw emotion that is being drawn out.
Speaking about your
grandfather, it's compelling. You feel honored to be in the room when you're capturing this audio and video. And more importantly, what blew my mind is how polished and how nice this family is.
That's cool.
That's very, very cool. It's nice to hear, actually.
And because you don't know what to expect. And Mike, more so than anyone else, and Rob, really, we've been in rooms with, I would say, celebrities.
Sure.
We've been in rooms with sports stars. We've been in rooms with politicians before. It really was refreshing to see every person that walked through that door to sit down, even before the cameras or the audio was rolling, to have genuine esteem for each other. And you're talking about family members that are in their late 20s to early 40s, and to siblings and the children of the late president.
You had to have some hesitation going in, meeting such important people, and essentially being the perfect away game. They're in their home.
Yes.
And so was there an awkwardness going in, and how fast were they able to sort of minimize that for you?
Well, I think it all depends on your host. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
So
absolutely.
So it depends on your host. And when your host can make you feel comfortable and dare I say, a part of the family.
Wow.
So within a 24-hour period.
That's great.
And you also, there's a museum attached to the library in the Bush School for Public Policy. And when we were in an Uber going back to the location, one of the gentlemen who picked us up was a former volunteer at the library. Mm-hmm. And to hear somebody in College Station that simply had a good 6-year run as a volunteer talk about that, the family, the way he did, without any context of who we were. He thought we were just going to see the museum and the library.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Was blowing my mind because I felt like this was like a plan. The idea that he had such regard. And more so, Mike, you always say, like, you want to find out about a company, see who's on the front lines, right? Talk to the people that are on the front lines. We go to the museum as a team, and we're at the gift store. We meet a lady that's been volunteering at the library for 22 years. She talks about, and if you're anywhere in the Houston area, and it's worth making the drive out to that library and museum, because what you get to walk around and see is how detail and how loving and how giving and how the life of President George Herbert Walker Bush was built around service. And I'll give you a small example. The lady who has been, and her name's Sarah, who's been there for 22 years, she said, you know, we would see the late president here on a regular basis. And he would walk around the exhibits and see how the exhibits had been updated. And if somebody had donated something from around the world, or a family member, hey, here's a flight jacket from when you served.
Right.
This is a patch. This is one of your. He was in your unit, and my grandfather always said I served with President Bush. And when he passed, he wanted to make sure that we donated this to the library. the president would handwrite a letter back to that family saying thank you for the addition to the library.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the way they roll.
Yes. That's a generational thing, too. That's kind of the greatest generation. And, you know, it was you got it when he passed. Saw all those people saying the wonderful things about him. And when you were out there, because the whole family was convening on this area, was it still open to the public when you were there, or did they shut it down for this reunion
private,
for the president's 95th?
It's comprised of three separate buildings. The one building was private.
I see.
Mm-hmm. The museum was still open to the public at the time while we were taking care of all this. Major media outlets were there from around the country. Since we were in the private wing and near the residence, which is on campus, which I would say maybe 50 feet from the residence. Mm-hmm.
Now, the residence, not where they live. They don't live at the library.
A public fact. They call it the apartment, but it is a larger wing of the
where the president could come or the family could come and be there
and stay.
If there was a function.
And
going
it looks
on
like
there.
The White House. It's gorgeous.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Like it is beautiful.
You got to go in there?
Oh, yes.
Very cool.
It is so. I actually asked like a Rube. I said, this kind of looks like the White House. And the guy smiled at me and said, it does, doesn't it?
Like you're an idiot.
Like I've been to the White House. I haven't. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Kind of like, I've seen pictures.
Looks like the White House. So was the whole family there?
The whole family was there. The 43 was not there. Because he was going to be at the Bush Open, a golf tournament in Maine, which was yesterday, Mike.
In Kennebunkport?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So, but this is more about the cousins, the legacy, the grandchildren getting together and us being able to capture everybody.
Was Jeb there?
Jeb, his kids were there, met his kids.
But no Jeb.
Jeb was not there. The family was being represented by Neil Bush. And
so are you able to talk about the podcast is going to be reflections on 41.
Yes.
Right? That's what primarily going to be. And you're going to have a series of interviews.
Not
with
just
people,
this family.
Family members, political leaders, people that want to come and talk about it. Celebrities.
Lyle Lovett, we got to meet and watch.
Is he as good looking in person?
I love it.
Now
I
cut that out.
I can't help myself.
Mike, what a talent. Yes.
Yeah. Like, what a talent.
He performed at a dinner that evening, a private dinner, which I didn't think we'd be invited to. They invited us to this dinner.
Did he bring his large band with him, or was it just Lyle?
It was him and three
That's
other...
That's what he called his tour, yeah. Lyle Lovett and
I remember
his
that.
Band.
Yeah, I think it's an oxymoron, obviously, and I didn't know enough about it because he had three people with him.
No, the he used to tour.
Yes.
It was Lyle Lovett and his
it's
large
just,
band.
No, it's just Lyle Lovett.
That was a tour he had a few years back.
Yeah. He killed. He absolutely killed. And for a genre of music that I'm not very familiar with, the guy next to me said, I just became a country music fan. And on his Spotify playlist.
He's borderline pop and country and stuff like that. He's he hasn't had a hit in a while, but I mean, he's
tremendous.
Very, very popular with the family, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he was one of the late president's favorite artists. So
good guy. Presidential libraries. I've never been to that one, but I've been
to Which one have you been to?
I've been to the Kennedy Presidential Library in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really. It's living history. It's not living history, but it is in a way. You can look at these exhibits and see the items that were part of historical moments, and it really is fascinating. If you like modern history, and I love modern history, I love to look at items that were there when something. The Smithsonian in Washington has
Mike,
so many things where you can look at.
But the presidential libraries are special in that so many of them, they're curated, at least at the beginning, by the president himself. So you get to see what is important
that's
be
there.
To them.
They're
I think
hands-on,
that's
and
wonderful.
That's where they put their memoirs. Mm-hmm. And they're basically the archives of the presidency.
A World War II veteran. Survived being shot down. You've got the fall of the Berlin Wall. You have Desert Storm 1.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when you're talking about 41, you're not just talking about a president. You're talking about director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA.
The vice president for 8 years during the Reagan administration.
A UN representative. The UN ambassador
to the
yes,
UN.
Yes,
he was the man. I mean, George H.W. Bush was in every ambassador corner in China. Of government.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
that's, I forgot the ambassador to China. Mm. So that's very cool that you're associated with this. And do we have a timetable as to when this podcast is going to be available for public consumption?
If best case scenario, 2 to 3 months, simply because right now it's the capturing of audio and video phase. And you would happily know, Mike, I was requested to come to Kenny Bunkport just yesterday. And mm-hmm. I said, I can't miss any shows. But I can come up on the weekend. We will figure that out. So this weekend or next weekend, I'm sure if the timeline avails itself, I'll let you know.
If you
drive up and say hello.
I'll meet you halfway. It's a long drive, but if you want to come all the way up, I'd love to see you. So yeah, let me know when you're coming to Maine. That'd be fun. I'll drive anywhere. What do I have to do?
When you got invited to that exclusive family dinner, I'm just curious. Did Rob Ford enjoy his meal?
Oh my God! Can I just please say this?
Yes, absolutely. We have time.
You know they talk about Texas barbecue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sidebar.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Sidebar. Whataburger, phenomenal down there.
Mentioned you took a picture of Whataburger. Yeah. What is there controversy with Whataburger?
Whataburger was just bought out by a Chicago company.
And everybody's worried about it.
You know
what?
Stop worrying. As I said to a friend, the people of Texas and Whataburger fans are worried that if it goes big time, the quality control is going to go away.
Yeah, they were purchased by All American Burger.
I've never been to All American Burger. Fast Times. What about what makes Whataburger? Get it? What makes Whataburger so? And you're saying Whataburger?
Whataburger.
It's Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Spell it.
What makes it so?
Whata Burger.
Whata.
Right. Whataburger.
What makes it so special? What's the big deal?
Fresh beef. McDonald's tries to do this. They charge $9 to $10 for fresh beef. Doesn't taste nearly as good as what they just get put on every effing burger down there. Hmm. And the service. The service is, Mike, they come to you with a little tray, and which condiments would you like? Would you like spicy ketchup? Would you like ketchup? Would you like... It's a fast food restaurant.
I'll take it with everything.
It's a notch above the rest.
They do fries?
Fries, chicken strips. I'm saying 4 to 5 times. Probably 5 times we went this past week.
Chocolate milkshake?
They had one in the airport. And I had a Dr. Pepper milkshake to answer your question.
Nice!
A Dr. Pepper milkshake.
I love it.
You know, when I went through Boston, Logan Airport, they had a Wahlburger, you know, for Mark Wahlburgers.
Like the TV show. I have not had Wahlburgers yet.
I haven't had Wahlburger, but you're a big fan. You took a picture and posted it at the beginning of your trip when you arrived in Texas.
If you look at my camera roll, there are so many. There are so many. And
you like the fast food joints.
Well, yes. I like what you can't
Don't
have.
Share that with the Bush family,
well,
please.
Take a picture of the burger itself?
No, I took a picture of the milkshake, though.
Okay.
But you were talking about barbecue at the
Okay, so that's the Rube side of us. That's the Rube side of us. Near the hotel, there was a Whataburger. We went.
You take vouchers?
The Texas barbecue that they served at this place. Mm-hmm. And for years, people have said, oh, you know, you don't know about barbecue. You know, we've got Rocklands right up the street. Nice barbecue
Good.
Place.
Yeah.
It was so delicious. So effing great.
Really?
That you sit there and I'm maybe you guys have been in Houston for a Super Bowl or something like that. To sit down and actually have real Texas barcue, you're spoiled for the rest of your life.
Houston
spoiled.
During a Super Bowl, though, it almost doesn't count because it's like a carnival. It's like
we're a traveling carnival.
We're
an hour and a half outside of Houston.
So what you got was probably the real deal.
So you saw an hour and a half, you saw some real Texas, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see all the mountains?
No, but Ron,
did anybody stop you?
Wow. No, with two Latinos in the front, I did question that. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm curious why that would happen.
I was going on. In a Suburban that we had to rent for all the equipment. Yeah, I imagine that was a good look.
Do you have anything with mirrored windows, please?
Yes. It's a beautiful countryside. And I actually mentioned this to somebody at the office. They said, "Oh, you were lucky. We've had a lot of rain, so it was probably completely green." I said, "Yes, beautiful green, rolling green pasture." Gorgeous. Driving out there, I was like, I could see why people would love it out here. Mm-hmm.
That's not normal. I'm not used to the Houston area getting a lot of rain. I'm sorry. That's a joke. I'm sorry. We have to take a break. No offense to anybody. Horrible situation there.
Mike, you don't laugh, you cry.
That's right. Sometimes you do both.
Thank you. I told you that one. Well, take a break.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
with earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah, I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeOMaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The best of O'Mara.
Okay, we've made you wait. You went nuts on the yaks over the weekend and during the week, and it's really important that we get to these. I'll be honest with you. I've never had more yaks to go through.
Yes, I noticed
and,
this.
And you know what? To the average person listening to these phone calls, you would say it's a sea of mediocrity. And I would agree with you. But it's my mediocrity, and I just love it. It's my favorite part of the show.
I like to feel, Mike, that you elevated with your presentation.
Thanks. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That's very, very kind. Sarah, you have never had a chance to hear the yaks.
No.
We made a change in the way we digest our phone content. We used to do Wide Open Wednesday, where live calls would come in, and it was problematic.
Yes.
It was just, it was very difficult. There were people that weren't prepared. There was a nervousness. When we went to the Yak Shack, which is a dedicated number, 888-920-6673. That's 888-920-WAR if you keep a track at home. When we went to this this lovely little open line where people can call at any time, the tension left the yaks. The tension left the phone calls. People are in their element. They're ready to call when they want to call.
Exactly.
Morning, noon, and night.
Just like podcasting is like on-demand radio, this is on-demand communication.
Sure, you can get drunk, leave a message.
People do drink.
That's it. For those of you that haven't heard the Yak Shack, let's dive in right now. TMOS Yak Shack. Our first call. Yak Shack. Thank you. Simply entitled Donald Trump. Let's go.
Oh. Hey, guys. This is Donald. I just want to say you guys have a wonderful, really, really a tremendous, tremendous show. I love listening to your show, driving in my little Trump car down my Trump road. Listen, guys. Mike, Rob, Mario, Horseman. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful podcast. And I know everything about podcasting. Everything. So listen, I gotta go, but love you guys. Kisses and hugs. Bye-bye.
See what I said about people being totally relaxed?
Is that a guy from your camp?
What's that?
Is that a guy from your camp? One of your students?
Yeah, the Impressionist camp?
Yeah, the one that you have out of Merriweather
Post. And unfortunately, because I'll be leaving before August, we don't get to have it this year. So a lot of people had to get refunded.
Last year you Skyped in.
I Skyped in. I just won't have the time this year. Less and less participation. The next call is simply entitled Alan is funny.
Oh, good.
I believe I know who this is. This is a former classmate of mine who called the Yak Shack. You know him also, yes. Rob. You've become good friends with him online. This is one of your Facebook buddies.
Love him.
Alan Wentzel from Class of 81, American University.
Mike, it's Alan Wentzel. He said to call you as soon as we got up. It's 4:30 in the morning. And I got up because I have to pee because I'm an old man like you. So... happy birthday, and yay to the Yak Shack. Okay, I gotta go back to bed now.
The flush.
Ellen has.
Oh, he waits for it, the whole flush.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I love about that coach. Because he's got that broadcast background just enough. You know, he knew to get that. He knew to get that toilet just right. That's not easy to do on a condenser microphone,
play it to the label is what you do.
Yes. A lot of calls about Walmart. And by the way, I have an update on that, and we might get to that. This is Walmart advice.
All right.
You know, I edit these all week, so I have no idea what this is.
Hi, Mike. This is Steve from Vermont. You know, I hate Walmart receipt checkers, too. And what drives them really batty is if you just simply say, no, thank you, and keep on walking. They won't do anything. They won't stop you. They won't call the cops or anything like that. They'll just let you go. So that's my tip for you. Just say no, thank you when they ask for your receipt.
All right.
That's great advice.
Have you, first of all, you have to ask Sarah if she's ever shopped at Walmart.
Oh, of course. I'm a Mainer. That was a big deal going up to Augusta Walmart.
Yeah, they sell wedding rings there. You should take a look.
Yes, everything.
They do.
They really do. Diamond section. Yeah, sure. Sam's Club, of course.
They have diamonds. Yeah. Try to get a person over there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Look at my Casio watch, my knock-around watch. Look at this, $64.
From Walmart?
This is a Walmart watch. Fantastic. Took me 9 hours to get a checker to come over there.
They have something priced.
They don't pay attention to it.
I can't even believe they have something at $64 at Walmart.
Yeah.
That seems high, Mike.
I got one of the better watches. They had to go into the case. That's why I got the 64. I love this watch. There's a button on it. Why are you laughing at
me? There's a button. To go
this
into
is
the
my
case.
Watch.
I know.
I love this watch. I've got a great watch. Okay?
But I love it.
It's sitting in the bathroom right now.
I have
in a drawer. Okay. I've got a watch. I've got a great watch. But this is the one I wear up.
Honey, I've got a watch. It's a great one. But it's I envision you standing by the jeweler's case and then finally getting someone to come over and say, I want that watch. And they say, we need a key.
Yeah,
for the
case. It took three
exactly.
people.
Of course.
It took three because they're not used to people in their jewelry section.
No.
They're used to people going in and buying Cheetos. That's
right.
What they expect when people are there. But so we get that we have this discussion about Walmart. Two times up here in Maine. By the way, we go every day.
Yes, of
we
course.
Live there.
To Walmart?
We live there. It's where we go all the time. We buy our evening meal. At either the Hannaford or the Walmart.
Oh, you're going to say my evening where?
Depending on what is the, if you got a huge grocery store, there are not many options up here.
I know,
okay?
I know.
Yeah, Sarah knows what I'm talking about.
It's true.
Not many options in Maine. There's the Hannaford and there's the Walmart. So we go frequently. And, you know, when you get up to a house that you haven't been in a while, you usually have to make, batteries, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's constant little thing. Oh, got to do this. And we run it. And besides, it's bored. You're going to sit in one house all
something
day.
To do.
In the middle of the woods. It's going to be, it's something to do. So we've been, on two separate occasions, we've gotten people stop us at the gate. And I'm getting tired of it. So we had a discussion about it. So this guy says, you don't have to do it. Well, a lot of people online already told me, you don't. If they say, can I check your stuff? You don't have to do it. Guess what? My lady, guess what my girl did yesterday?
What's
I
that?
Wasn't there. She told him to F off. She said, can I look in your bag? She said, I just spent $50 in your store. I'm not a thief. No, you may not. And she kept walking.
That's
ladies
excellent.
And gentlemen.
That's and what excellent. They say?
She said, I wish she was here to explain it. She said he put his hands up. I went, okay. And he took a step back.
And you know what? I'm sure they're instructed
to do that. They're not legally allowed to do it. It is your property, and they can't go through it because you've already purchased it. They can't do it because with Costco, you sign a contract
exactly.
that says they can go through it. Isn't that right, Rob?
That's exactly right. That's part of the policy. And I do remember when I was at Safeway.
Pain in the ass. I don't need it. I just shopped in your store. I'm not stealing. You know, get your security cameras to verify it if you think somebody's stealing. But don't hassle the honest people.
But even that 30 years ago when I worked at Safeway in the employee manual, it said you're not allowed to approach or ask shoplifters about shoplifting, even if you see them do it.
Yes,
you
know, so
you
this
have to
is
let
something
them go.
Where by the way, and everybody that shops at Walmart, if they pull that crap on you, do the same thing. Because I'm all about your rights as a consumer to not have to go through that.
I love that the guy said, say no thank you. I think that's the way to handle it. Just pleasant,
but
no.
But it's no fun. I'd rather give him a speech.
A speech? I'll tell you something.
I might actually rehearse if it ever. Now I'm going to pray for it to happen to me. Now that mommy has gone through and already taken the bullet, I can actually go in and just.
And then, Mike, you can practice your speech and then walk the aisles and pretend to put things in your pocket.
I'll use the line from sexual harassment from 30 years ago.
What's that?
I don't have to take it anymore. There you go. We'll do that one. Next call is a Hallmark Channel. Have no idea.
Okay.
Let's take it.
Hi, Shaq. This is Howard Rosenbaum from the Hallmark Network. I just wanted to call and congratulate the Mike O'Mara Show for giving us a wonderful new idea of a string of programs to run on our network. What's it going to be? Coming this Friday will be the first installment of our new line of shows celebrating birthday season. The first one is called Put Another Candle On. It stars Cameron, Candace Bure, and Willie Ames. She's a single mom who's returning to her hometown and has to decide between the slick new photo editor or the lonely put-upon veterinarian. You get the picture. And this is all surrounding her, birthday. That will air this coming Friday. And then the following Friday, we'll have You Say It's Your Birthday. That will be Keisha Knight Pulliam. and Rodney Allen Rippey. So, you know, to be honest, all we did was took our old Christmas script, crossed out the word Christmas, and put in the word birthday.
Birthday.
Them broads will never know the difference. Am I right, Oscar? anyway, love you. Bye.
Oh, God. That's okay.
Hallmark
like that
Network.
One. Yeah, Hallmark Network. Yeah.
That
you watch
a
the
great
Hallmark
call.
Channel? Sarah, do you watch the Hallmark Channel?
I do occasionally, like when Dolly Parton has a special, mostly like, you know, it's Dolly's Fabulous Christmas or whatever. Sure. And then it's like some kid that has no socks and she, you know, plays the guitar, saves them. But it has to be Dolly. Like, I got to get into Dolly. Like, I can't do Dean Cain and like Candace. Like,
did you
Burr.
Catch Kelly Pickler's Christmas at Graceland last year? That was a good one.
Yes,
that was
I
a
saw
good
that one.
One.
Yeah. Like, I like those themed ones.
Well, Mike, it was shot in accordance with Graceland. So they got some, you know, good footage of the Elvis
oh,
house.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Kelly Pickler's adorable.
World. Hey, I think we have our first drunk on the action.
Oh, good.
This says food drunk. I can only hope.
Good.
Let's listen.
Hey, duty. Brandon. Osage City, Kansas. Yeah, that's right. I've had a few. Listen to you buttheads.
Whoa.
Now, we're talking about fried bologna. My grandma used to make a f***ing bitch.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh,
dear. Sorry, pony. Used to make a real good fried bologna.
Thank you.
Elvis style.
What?
Rob.
Thank you.
With two B's. Fried bologna.
He's a listener.
And peanut butter sandwich.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Fried bologna, peanut butter. Uh-huh. Okay, guys. Bye, duty.
That's a... Sarah, we have a dumb show. What can I say?
Do you ever check on these people?
No.
I mean, like, I feel like they're hanging on by a thread.
Like do a home check just to make sure they're okay.
Just send somebody.
I think I might be.
I mean, these people are week to week.
I think I'm providing a public service.
You are.
I really do. We got a break, but we got two calls from the same guy.
Oh, okay. So I'll follow up and then we'll break?
Yeah, he calls back.
Oh, good.
Oh, great. Okay.
Do you think maybe I'm encouraging this behavior? Yes.
Hi, boys.
Oh, hey.
Loving the show as usual.
Oh, he's together now.
That sounds
Brandon from Osage City, Kansas.
Sounds like you woke up.
Much better.
I just want to let you guys know I've got a fat, fit, fun, quote unquote, box at home. Her name's Jen.
Oh, Her that's. Oh, no. No, that's. That's
wow.
Not.
You cut that out,
that could
sir.
Be the best
Hold
advertisement.
On, same guy,
for
Rob. We got another,
oh, another one.
Same guy.
Calling from Kansas. I love you.
He's drunk again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
I don't know what's wrong.
Well, he likes us, obviously.
You know, I do edit these.
Nothing. I love you.
I'm encouraging. I'm sorry, but the same guy called back.
Mr. Michael Mara.
That's you.
I don't think you want me calling you first thing in the morning. You might hear me dropping the kids off at the pool.
Okay.
All right. Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye, Kansas.
Bye, duties.
Bye, duties. He likes duties. That's it. We have to
you
take
know
a
what?
Break.
He has a lot of facets to his personality.
Hey, by the way, we didn't mention Sarah's stuff that she did.
Oh, you have Rob, you
do. You want me to promote it? Yeah,
yeah,
June 20th.
Go ahead. You promote yourself. Why not?
All your D.C. area listeners, June 20th, we are doing a live podcast show. It's actually Bachelorette Party theme, Mike. I wish you were here because I'd have you as one of the opening male dancers.
Sure. That'll be a great idea. Invoke my inner Chris Farley. Absolutely.
You would be amazing. Anyway, it's Amp by Strathmore in Rockville. We've partnered up with this awesome organization called I Support the Girls. They help get women in crisis, homeless women, feminine hygiene products. This is like right up your audience's alley.
This is so chicky. I
love
it.
It's so girly. So basically, they're in desperate need crisis-wide in the D.C. area of maxi pads. So if you bring a packet of maxi pads and you buy one ticket, general admission's $25, VIP is $40, which gets you a swag bag, priority seating, all that good stuff. And you bring maxi pads, you can bring a friend for free. So it doors open at 6:30. There's a full bar, light bites. Showtime's at 8. We're going to have just a great party.
All the information available, ampbystrathmore.com.
Yeah, you got
it. Ampbystrathmore.com. Click and get yourself a ticket.
Boom.
And for the next 15 years, if any woman ever hits the misogyny alarm on this program, I will say that this show gave away maxi pads.
Exactly.
That's the takeaway from today.
You cannot call me sexist. I promoted a maxi pad promotion on the Mike O'Mara show.
Tell Colin. Right.
And not the last time, Mike. Not the last time.
Okay, we'll take a break. I was in pain on my angry deathbed.
Oh, boy, you.
It's my aching belly, my diverticulitis, which is flaring up.
I'm gonna cry, bitty baby. Oh, you're gonna fucking cry.
Look at him, he's crying.
It's going to be embarrassing, but since I have no material left on the show today, and I'm cloudy, and I'm having trouble reading, I will tell you it's because I wore two tight pants.
Does stress get at it?
Yes, the stress of that last segment. Stress of old promos, the stress of no guests.
I drink your milkshake, Eli.
Mike O'Mara is killing himself for you. Are you so selfish that you can't show some damn common decency and buy a bonus show subscription? He gives and gives day after day, and you sit out there with your hand out like a selfish You're killing him. How dare you? Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com and buy a bonus show subscription today for the love of God.
The best of O'Mara.
Great to be back in our studios after a whirlwind weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana. Truly humbled by the turnout, by the joy, by the live audience that we have. Everybody, it was funny because I don't like to compare myself to a superstar, but I will. I brood after a show like Letterman does. I will brood because I will focus on every little in-house technical issue that we had on stage. And apparently that did not translate because people seem to be very, very happy with the show. I was just making a series of notes.
Sure. Please. This is the full, the Team West Live debrief.
Yes.
Mike will never talk up records. We had some minor little technical things with the music, and the funniest moment is we are backstage and the sound guy came back to explain to the team why the sound was off a little bit, and there were phasing issues, and it was a very technical thing, and he begins his spiel and I look over and Rob has turned around and is walking into the other room. And I looked at you.
I didn't realize what was going on.
Of course you didn't. I looked over and I said, Rob, I don't put the music on. He's talking to you. And you went, right? Now, if he had been a clown makeup guy, you would have gotten in the lotus position at his feet, looked up and stared at him to find out. But he was talking about phasing,
explaining
and
what
music.
Happened.
Now, I actually
understand what happened after he explained it.
But for both of you, correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't need to be that complex, does it?
What they were trying to do, we didn't need
channels and everything. No. Plug it into a speaker, plug it into a tape recorder, and we're good to go.
In an effort, he was trying to make a stereo presentation in the room, and that's where the phasing issue became a problem.
See, that's what we don't need.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Stereo presentation.
We're mono. We're a mono show.
And also, when you're in a live venue, life isn't stereo already because it's real life.
We all have mononucleosis.
We do. It's the kissing disease, Mike.
Right. Would it be safe to say that the preparations for our broadcast,
right,
of all of them, that the single, like when it came to showtime, the single most important person to you was the man that was flown in to do your clown makeup?
Would you be safe to say that when I was tasked to become a clown, that if I wasn't able to make a proper presentation, it would have been a disappointment? And let's face it, he turned out to be great, but
what is this? Face the Nation?
No, but
I'm asking you, it was the most important thing to you.
It was something that if he didn't show up, it would have been bad, and I'd had trouble with clowns leading up to this, and face it, he's a clown. And until I saw his face in the place, there was no guarantee he was going to be there. And
he
looked
like every picture of a meth head on Fort Myers Beach get down here.
That is very true.
He was 3 feet tall, clown. And he was he was a wonderful man.
He was great. He was great, and he did a good job.
Yeah, great. Throw that word around a little more. Great.
Okay,
yes,
he was fine. Great. He was fine.
It was a little, I mean, it was kind of crazy.
It was.
It was the twitch factor. You know, I mean, really, to be honest with you, you could go to a Walmart, buy the crap they sold at Halloween, splash it on your face, and just be do that.
I had the makeup.
I was expecting puddles.
Oh, and like what a I full got was white?
They, Yes.
Oh,
that's
no,
what
no.
I and a full clown like Pagliacci.
We were curious.
I designed my own clown outfit. I wanted to be
you
that
sketched
clown.
That
I didn't
out.
Know you were designing it.
But
you sketched that out
when the third clown outfit fell through. Then I had to do my own, and I said, "Let's go."
How did that work? How did the third one? You mean that means two others
how
before
they fall
that fell through?
No, I'm talking about the outfits. The clown outfits.
What happened? Tell us. What happened? Now you can talk, for Christ's sake. Come on.
Mark Riddell knows a lot of clowns, as you know, and he's hooked me up several.
Let me just get this. Here we go. There's your first problem.
I know.
What's the name you mentioned?
Mark Riddell. You called him Twitch.
Okay, yes. Twitch. Yes. Former employee of the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen.
So.
No, I love him to death. I've socialized with him more than anybody else on the show. But it's just when I heard that, I just knew that there would be a lot of talking about what was going to happen. And it's the, here it is. You call a costume shop, you go to Walmart, and you get some makeup. I just didn't think it needed to have as many moving parts as it did. Although, the end result of your clown, No, was a smash hit.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry it was a rough approach, but the landing was okay.
To be honest with you, it wasn't even that. I'm just saying what was important to you. What was important to you was this clown makeup guy.
No, you see, what was important to me was
Mike, he's here.
He's got the noses.
I found out he's arrived. He will be backstage. Oh my God! Thank God, in the venue.
All I wanted to do. We have electricity
and the clown guy is. We have electricity to the building, and the clown guy is going to be here.
Wow!
I think
it's amazing that it went that well, considering your wonderful mood leading up to the show.
You know what? You could have done. Well, 5-hour sound checks will do.
I understand. We were all with you. As a matter of fact, as far as that goes,
it was a little longer than I.
A little longer
for me to count on a nappy poo prior to showtime.
Hurry up and wait.
And not 15 minutes to take a dump and get makeup on and come up.
But yes,
there was the smallest bathroom in the world.
So it was, it's just it's something that I thought you could have put anything on.
I know.
And ultimately it would have been the way you did it and the way you performed, which was, correct me if I'm wrong, Oscar, I thought he killed it. I thought he absolutely
The highlight of the program.
You're very
the highlight
kind,
of the
but
program. He killed.
And I knew it was going to be the highlight for me no matter what. It was the highlight of the program. Yeah. The other highlight for me was a big surprise when we brought listeners up on stage to do impressions. I love that. I may do that again.
And I got to hear that while I was upstairs, and it was so funny even just hearing it. I can't imagine being there.
I should have known. I didn't, but I should have known that our listeners love to do their own shtick, and it was going to be me teaching impressions. I did an audible where I said, "No, let's let people do their thing." And
big surprise at the end of that segment.
Yes,
yeah,
the salad thing. Whoa, blew my mind. The next day, we all talked about it. It was so much fun.
I am simply talking about the logistics that no one knew about behind the scenes, which we did an extremely long sound check. By the way, we are kind of used to having guys, mess around with that stuff all day during the day, and then we kind of roll in, and I'm in and out usually tops an hour.
Yes.
And it was 1 o'clock, and 6 o'clock is when we wrapped it up.
Yep.
2 hours before the doors were going to open. So that was a little bit tedious. And then the whole thing, it was obvious to me. You referenced the clown makeup artist that was coming in for you. To me, you don't even know this, but you referenced it more than anything you talked about.
Well,
you talked about your clown makeup.
Do you want to know why? It's because I was really, really concerned. I wanted it to go as well as possible. Didn't want to let you guys down. I didn't want to have to do my own makeup.
Let me explain, as it goes about. These are discussions to have. I've got the soundboards equaled out so they'll look good for the stage show. I've got the I got all the little technical things that go by the by, and with the debrief. I know you cared about the clown makeup, but I knew you were going to kill it, no matter what.
Well, it's nice of you, but you know what?
You put a bag on your head and do that, but it's what you care about, and it's like you. You care about the puppy dog stuff. You like the clown and the stuff, and you didn't need him. You did not need him.
Easy to say in retrospect. I was nervous as hell going into it.
You were nervous?
Yes! Are you kidding?
Oh, you didn't show it. Not at all,
Rob. I never had a doubt.
Beside myself, beside you know what it was? Myself, it was, and that's probably why I kept talking about him.
It was 10 times better, and I thought it was going to be great, and so it ended up being 10 times better than I thought.
I'm sorry about your confetti and the keyboard.
That was a joke. I was fine that we had.
I did laugh out loud about
Oscar,
that.
Oscar, was the confetti a bonus? Was the confetti?
It was a bonus.
By the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Rob was a clown.
Yes.
On stage.
No, the clown.
It will never be heard on the regular show because it will always be a live feature.
Yes.
No, will always be a live feature, you know. And eventually, maybe 5 years down the road, No will get his own podcast.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I knew that the confetti wasn't a big issue because Mike would have given me a call or a text about a broken computer if the confetti was an issue.
I
swear to you, though, I have to tell you that I got back to the room and I was watching the just incredible social media posts from people.
Keep it coming.
We tell people not to record. They recorded everything and then it's all there.
Yep. God bless them.
And I literally had confetti stars that were in my computer from the show, which was hysterical.
You don't know what it's like to unpack after a trip to New Orleans where you've dressed up as a clown? Because I opened my suitcase, and of course, there's, you know, like my suit and a tie and everything. But then I'm playing, here's 4 dozen balloons. Here's the leftover confetti. Oh, silly string. I forgot I had an air horn. Yeah.
Let me ask this
yards one. And yards of handkerchiefs coming out.
And I want an honest appraisal.
Okay.
If you are going with your makeup, your clown makeup guy that came.
Yes.
What would be your review after all was said and done?
After all was said and done, I give.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you grade the makeup?
Before it gives you the score, just briefly.
Yes, Oscar,
I have a thought.
Okay.
I think that Rob also liked the idea of telling people that he's flying a clown guy in for special makeup.
He drove in, yeah.
Where did he
drive in from? Where did he drive
I think
in
Baton
from?
Rouge. It was about 90 minutes out.
Oh, he's a Louisiana clown.
My tooth done fall out.
What I heard was, when he was talking to listeners, he goes, and there's a clown coming from miles away just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make me look like the real deal, Jack.
Was it exciting to you to have a clown coming in from a
distance? I never said that. What I said is that, and this is cool, though. He was in the 5th graduating class of Clown College. He's been at it a million years. And, I mean, just that is kind of neat to me.
No,
anyway,
it's not.
No, you can't tell me what's neat to me.
It's, of course, I know I can't, because it is, that's what is neat to you.
Yeah.
There's so many things that I'd like to rewire you sometimes, you know, as far as what's neat. When
yeah,
we're
what
out
that
there,
must
you know,
be like.
You know, what's neat to you?
It's a 9. He was a 9 out of 10. He loses 1 point because the makeup was not elaborate, which apparently is what you desired. But
shut up. Okay.
No, I'm not putting it on you.
Hi, what's that?
Now you stop that right now.
Well, that's what that's all about.
Okay,
now.
Well then I withdraw the remark.
I had a different vision.
I withdraw the remark.
What's the clown we talked about that started this bit?
Was it Puddles?
Up with the idea of you being yes?
I see. Puddles. I didn't know that was the derivation of it.
I wanted Puddles. I wanted Puddles. I wanted the big baggy suit of that. But it didn't matter because it was still a good clown. But he actually put the fake clown nose on you. Plastic one you would get in any dime store.
No, this was a professional
dime store,
one.
Like it's 1935.
Family Dollar clown nose.
I am such an idiot.
The thing at the
Woolworths.
Yes.
You did yell at me, and I won't not yell at me, like dress me down, but you were concerned about the fact that I wasn't going to be able to make the change fast enough. You didn't want to be left hanging on stage.
My fault.
No. Okay. Please.
All right.
My concern.
You were still gone a long time.
Well, I was.
Yeah, you had half an hour. We did. That bit was a half an hour, right?
I was ready to go.
20 minutes? How long was it? Do you remember how long it was, roughly?
I think I was up and back in about 12 minutes.
And so how long did you have to wait before you went on? How long did you have to melt a little bit back there with your clown makeup?
I don't recall melting. I remember listening and enjoying it.
How long was it, roughly?
Five minutes or so.
5 minutes? Okay. So it was like about 20 minutes for 20 to 30 minutes for the whole time?
I think the turn was probably 20 minutes I was gone. Probably.
Okay.
But the thing that I was concerned about, I didn't want to leave you guys waiting.
It's that impressionist bit that I did without him killed. I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Wow.
This
would not be our show, though, if we didn't cut each other off at the knees.
No, that's true. And I think we can all agree one thing is that Oscar didn't do anything that killed.
I slayed.
We actually, I regret not having you do the, well, as a matter of fact, we do have to break now. I regret not having Oscar tell the story that he's going to discuss today.
Oh, good.
The hotel arrangements in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, it's well known that we have a contact in the Hampton Inn Corporation.
Yes, a hotelier.
His name is Adrian Garcia, and he is a night manager at a hotel, which really carries a tremendous amount of juice. And, you know, boy, oh, boy, were we taken care of.
Yes.
Big Easy. By our man, Adrian. Oscar will have all the details and
He may or may not still be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He is.
Dan O'Brien. Oh, good. Good. Dan O'Brien and Adrian enjoying their month-long vacation.
Taking a month. Yeah.
That's terrific. But, oh, what a show it was. And, by the way, if you didn't get a chance to see No-No the Clown, I hope we get revisited by No-No, because the end result. And now you have to kind of, well, what's the rule on clowning? Would you ever be able to modify your makeup at all?
It would evolve.
Which was the Emmett Kelly makeup.
Yeah. It would evolve.
That's what you wanted. You wanted the Emmett Kelly look.
It would evolve. But the thing is that no, I would have to really give it some thought because he so exists in the moment. He depends on his environment.
So you wouldn't want to necessarily do No-No again?
I'm not closing any doors.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank
very
you.
Good. All right.
So,
all right.
But no.
Fifth generation.
No.
Fifth generation.
One time. No. Pretty damn good. That's my favorite part. When you went to pop the balloon with your cigarette in it and it like pushed out into the audience. That was
my favorite part, too.
That was wonderful. You popped one, though, right?
I think I popped three, ultimately.
It's so funny. When you get Rob backstage saying to the guy, the lighting guy, it's okay if I smoke a cigarette on stage.
Hey, it's New Orleans.
We'll take a break.
Hello, fans. Welcome to ESPN College Game Day. We're coming to you today from beautiful Morgantown, West Virginia, for what should be an excellent matchup between the WVU Mountaineers and the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. I'm Mark Riddell, and I'm joined in the broadcast booth by my partner in college football excellence, calling the X's and O's, as always, Kerry Spiewak.
I wanted to say boys and guys, and I said them at the same time.
Mountaineers with the ball. They take it up the gut for a gain of 5 yards.
I get it.
Good night.
Yeah, you are so right. That's why I love working with you. You're the best in the business.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm a woman. I make babies.
You're right, Gary. I should mention our sponsor. Game Day is brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Shop Target and Walmart through the link at MikeOMaraShow.com for all your Game Day tailgating needs. For Kerry Spiewak and myself, thanks for tuning in.
I'm so bad.
The best of O'Mara.
I just witnessed. You can turn the music down if you don't mind, Ropa. I just witnessed something. That was a wonderful musical chairs segment that I just saw.
The whole control room fell apart.
Ropo and Oscar switching chairs. I felt like I was watching that cartoon Ferdinand that I watched with the bull. Oh my God, I'm hearing clicks and bangs. Anyways, everybody all situated?
Yes,
now?
We're good.
Do you feel
good.
Better over there, Oscar? Do you feel better over there?
I felt like I was doing a great job on the
You
other
did
side,
a great
you know?
Job. You did a fantastic job. Yeah. You didn't move because you were doing a bad job. You did great.
I actually realized that Rob's system, who, by the way, Rob Ford set up this overall setup for the broadcast because he knows a better way to do it. Rob's system is better than the two iPad approach that Rob Spiewak has. It really is surreal. Where you have a computer and an iPad. And if you don't mind turning up your gate a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm getting onto your mic.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
thank
sure.
you.
I can't hear it down here, so it sounds great. Well, I'm glad to have him back because I want to do a little TV talk, and then you know, we got a lot to cover. Yeah, I know you had something you wanted to talk about, but I want to just mention this. And listen, I understand that the show that I really, really like on television right now might not necessarily be the most popular show. The most popular show on HBO was Chernobyl. When we were talking about that, a lot of people were watching that. I don't know, Oscar, if Gentleman Jack is getting the kind of traction, especially now that the finale's over. But I have to tell you, as far as television finales go, bing, bang, boom, nonstop, all the plot lines you were interested in. And they did it in a rapid. This is the tale of two television shows. One that is brand new that I'm in love with that I hope they bring back. And I hope we get to see more episodes because it's great. The acting, I think her name is Saran Jones, the
The lead character in Gentleman Jack is just magnificent. There's not a bad actor in this. It's a period piece in the 1800s in England, and it is fantastic. And the subject matter, super controversial. A lesbian in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. It's magnificent and just tastefully handled, beautifully done. That's it. I cannot possibly sing the praises of a television show more. If you like Downton Abbey and you like it moderned up a little bit with some very, very sophisticated content, you're going to like this. And there's, as I said, there's not a bad acting performance in it. There's so much decent acting going on, and the way they let these actors, you got to just salute the Brits. They know what they're doing.
I got to dive in now. I got a couple episodes in, but you're telling me that it's that good. That good. That fantastic.
I'll give you my sell to you personally. Okay. I also think that she has a way about her that makes her probably one of the most engaging romantic characters on television.
Oh, wow.
She has a demeanor in the way she does it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I've met guys from, you know, and women that adore the show. My wife and I watch it together. It's fantastic. Now to the show that is not living up to the expectations, that's got a lot more buzz, gotten a lot more Emmys, and it features a relative of mine, who, by the way, has been in one scene this year, and that is The Handmaid's Tale. I'm almost to the point. I am almost to the point of the darkness and the brooding and the close-ups and the whispering and the lack of anything really happening other than just whispering and all the psychological intrigue and the close-ups of Elizabeth Moss that they are just ridiculously obsessed with, where, you know, every 5 seconds, this is seriously what I'm deaf, okay?
Yes.
I've had headphones on for 400 years. I'm deaf. I understand that. That's what I hear during the entire episode. And I've got it. And Carla says, will you turn that down? Will you turn that down? Will you turn that down? And what I'm hearing really is this. Yeah. Because they're all skulking around. And so no one speaks at
the majority of that episode that you're talking about. The volume issue's been there for some time, and it's
horrible. It's gotten horrible
worse.
Audio.
I feel like it's gotten worse.
It's terrible.
Also, Shannon was watching the latest episode, and I sat there. I said, their production cost for this episode must have been so low, because all they're doing, they have like three different rooms that they're filming in, that going in and out of them. Like, did they run out of money? Are they saving up for something big later on?
They're certainly
what
not
happened?
Paying writers. They're not paying writers because it's a lot of music videos of sitting on the beach looking sad and smoking a cigarette with the old mother that got her finger chopped off. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ. And then my wonderful cousin comes in. And she's been, you know, almost stabbed to death by one of the other handmaids. And she, you know, you can understand her because she's a theatrical lady. And you can, I want more. I want my cousin back. You know, my cousin ducks into one scene to, you know, to hit Elizabeth Moss with a cattle prod. And that's the only exciting moment we had. and it's on and on. So it's just a tale of two. And I don't know.
It's got to get better. It's a slow start.
Such a slog.
Slow start.
It's such a total slog. But I have faith. A television program in this age of binging that we all live in. And by the way Hulu's doing it, the great greed of Hulu is to release three at a time and then wait another week. And then, so you can't really binge if you want to blast them all out on a weekend.
For these new run shows, they'll just lay them on you once a week, depending on how.
Because they want to ka-ching it. Yeah. They want to ka-ching it.
This
feature is not activated. You cannot fast forward. F you.
I don't understand how in the world. I get that the television volume situation between the commercials and the actual show, the body of the show, you can't really. I want to believe that the technology isn't there for them to fix that. But if you got a digital feed, and you can just go in and see how the volume's laid out instead of like dynamically inserting ads at volume levels that are 10 and the show's at 5.
It's insane. I hope somebody's out there.
Like on a WAV file, Mike, they should just be able to pull it down to compress So it's all at the same level. And by the way, isn't there a law here on 2020 that all these networks are supposed to maximize their efforts to actually bring the volume level at commercials down to match the actual shows?
And on top of that, and this is the little game that my wife plays with me, is somebody offering something?
Yeah, Pony.
I think that that only applies to television. With internet streaming, I don't think the FCC rules apply.
I think he's spot on with that. I think he's absolutely telling the truth with that.
And if adult videos can do it, people, there's a pre-roll on everything. If they can do it, we can do it.
I now, for the entire run of The Handmaid's Tale, I get it. I have my hand on the mute button. So when they go to commercial, I don't listen. And this is what they should know about advertisers. Because anybody who's watching it,
you're
like I'm watching,
hear the message.
And I have a soundbar. Yeah. I have a soundbar. So I've got to, I'm doing the best I can with my TV. Carla's game that she used to play with me was because she knows that I'm aware of the audio level, that I'm aware it's going to be loud. And so her game, she said, will you please turn the, and I'm screaming at her. I said, I was just turning, and then she starts laughing because she knew she was going to get that reaction. And I look at her, I said, I'm tortured every day. Do you have to continue to torture me on little things that don't matter? Go get your activewear on and go to your garden. So anyway, I mute it and that's it. So it's something that drives me nuts. But when you have a show that I'm so enthusiastic about, like Gentleman Jack, and it goes away, it's so funny how we get engaged with our entertainment.
Yeah, if there's
having conversation. Carla says, "Does this mean a year? Does this mean we're going to have to wait a year?" I said, "Well, it's kind of the way it works, right? They come back next season, right?"
That's Succession on HBO. They start promoting it now. It's August 24th, if I'm not mistaken.
Why show me that
if it's in August?
They want to keep you recurring. They want to keep getting that monthly premium that you're talking about, Mike.
Why are you pre-rolling this and I got to wait? They've got my money. They should have some sort of a program that says this is the guy's a rube. He's paying every month. He's not going anywhere. Stop teasing.
Will you, for me, in the next show or two, will you do a dive on Gentleman Jack? Find out if it's got traction and if it's doing well. Because I'd love to see Rob book the lead on that show. Yes. I think we could probably get her.
I'd like to see
on the show.
Rob in studio.
Come on.
You're gonna have to get that report tomorrow. Otherwise, it'll be next week.
Hey, before we go to break, very briefly, I didn't mention it, and a couple of people let me know they wanted me to mention it. But I was aware of this David Ortiz situation. I'll tell you something, as a lifelong Boston Red Sox fan, and being aware of what this guy means to the city, and David Ortiz over the weekend shot Sunday evening in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo in a restaurant down there in a bar. And I watched the grainy video on BostonGlobe.com, Boston.com, and everybody reeling. There are not many guys that come along, with his athletic credentials and what he did. He'll go down in history. I don't think anybody will ever touch him as the greatest clutch hitter in the history of the Red Sox. But beyond that, I was actually at the game where the Red Sox came on the field after the Boston Marathon bombing. I was there when David Ortiz made his speech and said, "This is our effing city." And we were sitting up there in section nosebleed. And I looked at my brother-in-law. I said, "Did he just say what I thought he said?" Yes, he did. It was just, he's bigger than life. And they flew him back last night from the Dominican Republic to, I think he's going to be at Mass General, where he's getting some treatment for being shot point blank in the back, which appeared in every way that I saw it as a hit for some particular reason, and they're still getting to the bottom of it. We'll have the details coming up on News You May Not Need. But this is a guy that, transcends sports, and everybody really cares about him because of just the kind of human being he was, his joy for the game, his joy for life. And he comes to us years and years ago, I think in 2003, from the Minnesota Twins, and suddenly the world changes for the Boston Red Sox. So he means a tremendous amount to the people of that city, and I wish him a speedy recovery. I hope hope he does well. Sounds like he is doing all right, but
That he was even able to survive this is a testament to the people in the Dominican Republic, the doctors there. I mean, they had to remove his gallbladder just to stop the bleeding right away.
Yeah, amazing. You never know. Very, very tough time for the Dominican Republic.
Oh.
just in the last month, the stories coming out of that place, people getting attacked at resorts, people getting poisoned.
People dying.
It's just, you know, they got to get their act together and figure out what's going on, because that's got a tremendous tourist operation down there. That's part of their economy, but that's another story. So get well soon, David Ortiz. We'll keep you posted on that. We will take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show, a little Rofo and Oscars world when we return.
Drainage! Drainage! Eli, you boy. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake! I drink it up! Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA Shopping Center. Access them at MikeOmeraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
The best of O'Mara.
You had mentioned something to me in the pre-show, Oscar, that you wanted to talk about. And, you know, I know you're traveling to Houston, Texas, but there's something else you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I pride myself, and we've talked about this in the show in the past to an extent, that I pride myself in finding deals. And deals online, whether it be from Craigslist or eBay. And I've been doing this since, I would say, 2005. And my first eBay transaction ever was for a cell phone that was sent to Ding Dang. And I said, all right, I've sent the phone. Give me your money. It's somewhere in Asia. And I never got the money, which was a hard lesson to learn, because that's before eBay would tell you, hey, don't send anything internationally.
You've always been so daring with this. It's been amazing how you dive into these things with Craigslist and with eBay. Like, you know, it's terrifying to me.
Game has changed in this marketplace world, where you have you can go on Let Go, which is an app where people put the stuff they want to let go from their home with a geo fence, which is your radius, 2-3 miles. You can decide how far you want to go to get someone else's leavings or junk or what they're moving. And we get a lot of this.
He's buying something again, Rofo.
We get a lot of this.
I can't wait.
We get a lot of, well, Rofo always benefits, so he's a big winner. Anytime something new comes in, he's like, let's try this out.
Yeah.
And what we get a benefit from is there's a lot of military in our area, and they're always being restationed. So you always get this like, hey, I'm leaving in a week. Come get it. X amount of dollars.
Okay.
Fair dollars. But you don't have to deal with this like really back and forth. Like, I'm not driving to Pennsylvania to pick up a record player for $50. That's not my life. I'm dealing in thousands.
Yeah, but you're a bit of a shopaholic on these things. You like a good bargain.
Well, yes, if I'm saving thousands of dollars.
Well, okay, tell me what it is. I'm dying. What are you getting? That's got to work.
Well, I don't know.
Another television?
Well, I don't know if I'm getting this, because I'm on the brink, Mike. I think this is actually something illegal
going on. I'm dying to know. You're killing me. What is it?
There is an LG wallpaper television. Remember that day we were talking about
this? How many televisions does this man buy?
He has been talking about this dumb wallpaper TV for so long.
So
how many inches? Is this the like 100-inch one?
You should know that. These televisions, but most of the stuff I buy goes into the company, like, because we need it for production services.
Right.
And we're opening a new location downtown.
Right.
So I'm starting to gather all the pieces together, and I certainly don't want to pay full freight. So
I get it.
I go and I find this, and I start writing this gentleman. I said, look, I'll give you this offering. This wallpaper television is a couple years old. So
now this wallpaper television, you have to wet the back and stick it to the wall. Is that right?
I would say take a moment on your computer if you can and type in LG wallpaper television.
Okay.
All right. It's space age. And if you're building a set, it would be fantastic on a set.
Okay.
For talent to stand in front of or to use. So I write this gentleman.
How big?
It's 65 inches. Not too big. Like, we're not talking about 88 or anything. So at 65 inches,
I'm like, all right, this is roughly $3,000 off its retail cost. It's 2 years old. There's two models that have been built since then. I'm going to write this gentleman and give him what I think is a lowball, respectful offer. And then if he comes back, that's fine. So I write him. He says,
Don. Is it really that thin?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Reminds me of what the hell's wrong with my phlegm generation here? It reminds me when we went to CES, Consumer Electronics
Show.
That's
the first time I ever saw it, Mike, and that was a prototype years ago.
That's really
It's special. Out on the market now. We're going into its third generation.
Look how beautiful that is.
See, it's like looking at a hot chick for me. I don't care about women.
It will make an office or a podcast village look really, really good.
I got
good.
No libido, Mike. I got gadgets, right? So
that's good, good. But they are expensive. They're all multi. I see one here for one LGA signature for 77 inches, $14,000.
Yeah, so again, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, my offer is in the low, very low single digits.
Okay.
I'll give you $2,000.
$999.
No, $2,000 is my offer for what it was, a $7,000 television. It's used. It's somewhere else. I don't know what this guy's situation is.
Well, he's not in the military, but he's got a TV.
For
like that.
$2,000, he says.
Plus he's a contract killer. Ooh, don't get a TV from him. Oh, my God. Oscar Santana's been kidnapped. Oh, my God. He didn't get the wallpaper television.
For $2,000, which is, I would say, a steal of a deal. And that,
steal of a deal.
That word will come into play a little later. I just throw it out there. He responds within the hour. He says, done deal. Where are you located? I'm like, well, I'm located in Northwest. I want to bring it to the office. And I said, before we move forward with this, I know that there are a few quirks and humbars about this television that could be found in some early generation because I've done the research. I said, are you having a deal with burn-in? Or do you have an issue with this? And I said, no, the screen's absolutely perfect. We're good to go. I said,
he says that to you.
Yes. Do you mind?
You said I said, and it sounded like you were selling it. So I just want to make sure. Okay.
Well,
all right, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm paying attention.
I said, do you have the television registered with LG for the manufacturer warranty? And he said, absolutely. Here's the serial number. So I said, okay, this is going well. We are in the right direction.
Sounds very prepared.
Prepared. And and then I said, do you have the receipt from your original purchase? Because I think that is important within the parameters of buying something
online. You know what I'm picturing for some strange reason is the general once again in Dancing with Wolves. You know, I've just peed my pants. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. So just in case he's insane, does he have that information?
So this is where it gets hairy. And I love your all's take on this.
Yes.
So he doubles down on, he goes, I'll look for the invoice, which is not what I receipt, invoice, whatever. But you should know that I did buy the extended warranty through LG. So I have that. But I'll look around for the invoice. I'm at work right now. I get off at 5 o'clock. And this is, I was like, all right, you know, let's see what happens.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. I try. He goes, could you mind giving me a call around after 5? So I call. No answer. I need some thin phlegm in my life.
Right.
And I said, I called. I typed back to him. I said, hey, I called. Write me back. Give me some picture of the receipt or some transaction. I could make sure that this is all on the level. He said, I actually don't have the receipt for this television.
I wouldn't be totally freaked out by that.
But what I do have is
a picture of the van that he got it out of?
A picture of the extended warranty, which he did send of hit when he put the serial number in and it comes up. I can actually track it myself.
Yeah, he said, but anybody can get that from stolen television.
And I actually can't find the receipt, and I can't even go into the system and get one printed out because I work in the business, he says, of, I guess, television. He names a store. He goes, and the prior establishment that I used to work with is closed. And I said, closed?
Oh, I'm beginning to understand how he got the television.
And I said, he goes, yeah, you remember H.H. Gregg? And I said,
H.H. Gregg, I did a remote when I worked on the edge. 4 people came.
So, I said, yes. He goes, I used to work there, so I got it there. So there's like, I can't even get a receipt if I wanted to go to the store. He says, I'll buy a new warranty on top of the warranty we have now, extending this warranty, which I don't even know if you can do.
I'm cool with that so far. I'm with you on that.
He goes, what do you think? And I said, I'm at work. I was like, let me think about this.
So, is there more to this?
I'm at a crossroads.
Because we have to break. Can we come back and finish this?
Yes.
Can we do that?
I'm at a crossroads.
Let's take a break now. We'll finish your story, and then we'll do news you may not need, and then we'll go
home. Done deal.
All right, very good.
Go home. You are home, Mike.
I am. Oh, that's right. I am home. I just have to go downstairs. And we will take a short break. We'll find out because it sounds like, you know, he wouldn't be talking about it if something didn't happen. And Oscar loves the struggle and loves putting his life in danger. So we'll take a break, come back with the rest of this on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. All right, when last we checked, Oscar was buying a 700-square-inch television that sticks to the wall like wallpaper. And but you were there, some warning signs, some red flags have gone off with this transaction. But it sounded to me, if I heard the guy's got a warranty, he worked at like a big box store, and maybe he got it when they closed. Mm-hmm. But you, there's something going on here, right? You feel like there's something amiss.
Well, I lose receipts all the time, so like that wouldn't even be a problem for me.
So it wouldn't be a problem for you, but if somebody asks, well, and I've done this before, I've sold stuff online. I always send, I'll find my credit card transaction and show them. Like this is where
and you
I
can
paid.
Get a receipt that way if you paid.
Yes.
Oh, the line item.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which I'll take all day. What also another layer to this was that he mentioned, and our subsequent conversation is, all right, this TV is regularly roughly, let's say on the market now for $7,000 because it's this new Highline deal.
Right.
I'm buying it for two. So I already know that there's a lot of give I have to give to this or something's wrong with the television. One or the other. We got to find out.
Because of the what it retails for and what you're going to get it
for. And I ask him, I'm like, it's the old adage. The deal's too good to be true. I write him. I say, do you have time just to like walk through it with like a FaceTime deal? He's like, no, like my schedule's crazy. I can definitely meet you somewhere and like we can do the transaction. Where like I'm not.
Can he meet you somewhere where he can plug it in? Because that's a big deal.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Where I'm
okay.
Because what are you going to give me a piece of poster board? And I'm hoping that it'll boot up when I get to the office. That's
Oscar,
not going to work.
I'm going to meet you in the middle of a farmer's field. Hello, Oscar. Thank you for the check. Now going to die.
Which I have done for cell phones, and I'll never do again. You never meet at a loading dock. You never meet, which I have done and thought I was going to die.
You have been through these transactions.
These sweaty
that
handshakes
I would
get
never,
sweatier when you don't have proof of actual, not just purchase, but that the product works. So
you go to a yard sale. If somebody's selling electronics, they're going to have access to an outlet where you can turn it on.
Can I plug in this coffee machine?
I know that. I had yard sales.
Yeah, you did.
SOP. SOP. Standard operating procedure.
You're also looking for picture. There's missing pixel or anything like that. And I said, well, look, I have to be able to see this. And he says, well, you can come on down to his place. And I said, well, that smells like a robbery ready to happen.
Where's he located?
He's not close.
Anacostia!
No. Think of the other direction, Mike.
West Virginia!
Bingo!
I live on the top of a mountain with guns.
The closest part. Enough to say, let's meet somewhere.
Jefferson County?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And,
really?
And then he says,
where they have all the H.H. Gregg stores.
That's what he says.
If you don't want a TV.
I'm getting a little hinky too.
If you don't want a TV, you want a washing machine.
Yeah, so he said, and can I add this? No BS. I've been to H.H. Gregg. They didn't sell these televisions. They just didn't.
That's right. That's right. They'd sell, like the best you could get would be like a Samsung 75 inch or something like that.
They weren't selling these Highline.
A lot of Vizios.
Yes. So if they're not selling them, and that's where he bought it, if they even carried it, I don't know if the story adds up.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you're welcome to Jefferson County. Hey, everybody. Come and get your TV set. Come and get your TV set. Yes, siree. Yes, siree. I painted it myself. Painted it myself. Painted it myself. Painted it myself. Yes, I got a paper mache. Go on your wall. Wallpaper. Sorry. So what happened?
So right now, where it stands is... this gentleman, because he has such a busy schedule, and by the way, he works at another television company, which is also kind of dicey because I'm like, all right, did this fall off the truck at H.H. Gregg or fall off the truck at this new, I guess, this big warehouse store for televisions?
Is it around D.C. or is it Best Buy?
Yeah. No, it's around D.C.
Okay, it's a DC one.
Yeah, I'll text you the name a little
Wish later. I lived up there. I give them all to you right now because I watch TV, you know?
It's not the small screen Morgans. Store.
It's not the small screen
store. It's not the small screen store.
It's not the small screen store. But if there was a cousin to the small screen store.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get that info, and he goes, my schedule's packed, and seems like a nice enough guy via text. And I just don't know at this point. Like, my gut says this is already kind of hinky. And even if you could power it up and throw it.
You are the bass, Oscar. You are the bass, and he is the jelly worm. And the jelly worm, you know it might be a fake, and you're looking at that, but boy, do you want to bite that jelly
he
worm.
He wants it.
You want to bite that jelly worm so bad, and he's going to hook you. I know you want it badly, because when you say things, and he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah,
via text, he seems like he's a super nice guy. You know, it's like, welcome to Jefferson County. Listen, the TV's down in the barn behind the oil drums. There you go.
Down here, sir? Down here?
Yes, down here. the scene in Goodfellas where down further. Where Dr. Melfi goes, further right
further
there.
Now, and she looks back at me. Keep going. Yeah.
So where does it stand? Where does it stand right now?
I have hit pause by saying, look, man, busy at work. Looks like you're busy as well. Let me readdress this in like 24, I said a couple days, 24 to 48 hours. So I ask you as a friend now, you've heard everything. What do you think?
The price point you're talking about, if he really wants to sell it, he should come to your place of business.
And set it up. Yeah.
And then you will give him the cash right there.
Yes.
That, what do you think, Ruffo? Right? I mean, have him bring it out to the village. And if he doesn't want to put that up, it's too hinky. It's too much money for that. You know, and it's a television that's lightweight. It's not like it's a big deal for
him
to do that. I mean, you have to have obviously an SUV to bring it out, but you know,
folds.
Does he work? Do you know where he works?
Oh, I know where he works.
Does he work in the
DC
Jefferson
metro
County.
Area? Yes.
He works in the DC metro.
Yeah.
Or go to his place of business or go to a neutral location.
I don't think he wants to take it back to that place of business.
Oh, he doesn't want it because he's working at the TV place.
You see, I think
so he probably doesn't want to drive in with that, too. Oh, I don't know. It's difficult.
I kind of think that, in a perfect world,
you
he would
spot
come
a deal.
Here. He would come here. This is a great deal. So I would like to offer my services to go to Jefferson County, West Virginia. I did go to West Virginia University. I've been itching to get back into the state where I spent four of the golden years of my life.
Wow.
I'd like to scout the location in Jefferson County, make sure everything is safe, make sure everything is good to go. I will be willing to go into the cellar
to go
get the TV.
Go at night, Ropo.
I think that's
go
a great
night.
Idea. The traffic will be lighter.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
You're going to go to recon?
I will go to recon to his warehouse. And if everything checks out, come on out, bring the check, and we'll be good to go.
Also, there's something to be said, Mike. There's a certain way that this television should be mounted. And you can look at it two different ways. When you walk into someone's house,
I know if you go to West Virginia, there's something in the way you should be mounted. I think that's what's going to happen.
Have you ever seen a television that's just sloppily put up and you're like, ugh. Like, why would you even mount it on the wall?
Yeah, it's the one in my bedroom at home where we used a handyman. And he put the level on it. He put the level on it like six times. I said, I don't give a shit what the level looks like. The TV is crooked.
Thank you.
I've been there. I think, Rofo, I think you're well-intentioned.
I can't put him in harm's way.
It's got to be two people.
Yeah, a team. Or he's got to deliver.
A safety buddy.
Yeah. Pony, you've done this. What do you think?
I think it sounds sketchy. If you're willing to take the risk, I bet the television works.
Yeah.
I just don't.
How long?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's really no way to tell. But ultimately, what it comes down to for me is, are you willing to receive something that
this
might
is
be
the stolen? Same situation I was in, and I kid you not. Sometimes a girl is so hot, and you know that, man. Like, is that a pimple or is that something else, like, on her face? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you start weighing. You're
hit
like,
the misogyny
you're
like, alarm it, for
like,
him,
okay,
too.
That's this is when I was a single man. And then you're like, that looks like just this little acne. It's nothing crazy.
It's a herpes. It's a herpes.
You know, that probably is an ingrown hair. I shouldn't worry about that. She's so hot.
Right.
This TV is so hot.
I know. You want it, but you got to get out there. Two people have to go to get it, or he brings it to you. Listen, you're the purchaser on your terms.
I make the rules.
You make the rules. Don't worry about it. You don't have to kiss this guy. You're paying him a lot of money. And why is this TV so cheap? Tell him to take care of you.
I asked him. He's upgrading to a larger television.
Oh, that might be a lie, too. What's this thing, 65 inches? Like an 80-incher or something like that?
But if he works at a television store, he should get a killer deal, so he shouldn't have to sell this to actually get a killer deal at a bigger TV.
Well, size matters. Anyway, I wish you the best
of
luck.
We'll let you
know
how this hot chick works out.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.